Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
July 4th is just around the corner. But today, we gotta show love to our neighbors to the north who are celebrating Canada Day. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Canadians, including me, are celebrating our country and heritage today. And as a Canadian citizen, I also see this as a chance to reflect on the state of cross-border relations. Some might even call it tensions. President Trump's tariff threats and his warnings about turning Canada into America's 51st state, well, they've left many Canadians wondering, are we still partners, just friends, or simply neighbors now? So I asked three fellow Canadians to join me and share how they're feeling about living in the U.S. right now. I spoke with Corey Olashansky, Consul and Trade Commissioner at the Consulate General of Canada in Chicago. George Khalif, the co-chair of the Toronto Committee of Chicago's Sister Cities International. And Revy Baishwal, a fellow Torontonian and anchor of ABC 7 Chicago's 5 and 6 p.m. newscasts. Now, it's a pretty interesting time for Canadians to be living in the States. So I asked Corey to kick us off with how he's feeling.
It's an interesting time. But it's also a time when, you know, as our Prime Minister said, things are changing. And we're looking at creating a new relationship with the United States. But I don't think it's going to be a relationship that vastly changes the way Canadians and Americans think about each other on an individual level. The ties between our country, the person-to-person ties between Canada and the United States, are so deep and so dense that it's difficult to imagine sort of a total re-scrambling or a total rearrangement of that.
We're already joint at the hip, as
well,
you say.
Well, I mean, think about how many Canadians and Americans have family on the other side of the borders, how many people travel for business, the economic ties that we have, the environmental ties that we have, the security ties. The trade relationship between Canada and the United States is worth $1 trillion a year. It's $2.5 billion a day.
Yeah.
We're each other's biggest trading partner, and in Illinois alone, I think it's an $83 billion a year trade relationship. That's billion with a B.
Yeah. So given all of that, I wonder how you feel after hearing President Trump, you know, make comments like this one.
What I'd like to see Canada become our 51st state. We give them protection, military protection. We don't need them to build our cars. I'd rather see Detroit or South Carolina or any one of our Tennessee, any one of our states build the cars. They could do it very easily. We don't need them for the cars. We don't need them for lumber. We don't need them for anything.
We don't need them for anything, the president of the United States says. Revy, what did you feel? What came to mind when you first heard this statement from Trump?
Well, on a personal level, obviously, it was incredibly disappointing because there's always this idea that Canada's biggest friend and ally is the United States and vice versa. Maybe it's like a big brother, little brother connection. But whatever it is, it's profound and it's woven into our DNA, as the consul just said, you know, the family, the person-to-person ties. And we've got Americans throughout our family and Canadians who live in the States and so on. So it was actually very disappointing to hear that kind of notion. And unfortunately, it ties into sometimes the inferiority complex once in a while Canadians will have vis-a-vis the United States. But all that being said, I also thought it was a little bit of a misreading of facts. And so
that's people, on brand.
Yeah, it's on brand. But people have to be aware that just because it's sort of stated like that doesn't make it true. And as we just heard, the nature and the size, the monumental size of just the trading relationship alone is a massive fact of life in America. So yeah. I thought it was very much a misreading of the situation. But the funniest part was that all through the winter and stuff like that was how personal it was for American friends of mine to say to me on a personal level that I don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. I don't want that, and I kind of apologize for that. So I heard that from a lot of people.
I did too. People almost wanting to just say, "Please, that does not represent the rest of us. This is not how we all feel." How did you take everything in the beginning there, George? I mean, did you think the president was joking?
Well, Sasha, while I can't speak for all Canadians, and it's true that some Canadians may have expressed concerns lately, and you know, it's tough to sort of pinpoint different ideas, opinions, experiences. I think this is why the work that we're doing at Sister Cities International, specifically Chicago, Toronto, is so important. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think about the sort of tagline and the motto of Sister Cities, specifically in Chicago, it's one of the largest, it's one of the most active globally. And their tagline is literally bring Chicago to the world and the world to Chicago. And a lot of what we try to do is emphasize connection, mutual respect between the cities, between the countries, you know, sort of set this foundation of cooperation, collaboration, building relationships. So that's the one part. The other part is, from what I've seen, is Canadians here often feel very welcomed. You know, many are contributing meaningfully, whether it's in business, arts, academia. Mm-hmm. Having moved here myself from Toronto six and a half years ago, I found Chicago to be incredibly open. You know,
yeah, I've had a warm welcome for the most part as well. Mm-hmm. I'd say for the last decade.
Absolutely.
In this country.
Yeah, I find exactly the same thing. I've only been here for 3 years, and I'm a diplomat. So I've been here for 3 years out of a total of 4 year assignment. So I know I'll be leaving, but I haven't encountered any sort of unpleasantness or anything like that. I mm-hmm. find that people in Chicago have been very welcoming. This is a wonderful place. It's a great place for Canadians to do business. Canadians come down all the time.
Right.
We bring down business people and help them make connections here all the time.
So you were able to remain polite as we're known to be?
I think we're known to be polite, and I think we lean into that a little bit, and we always get a warm reception here. This is not a place or a part of the world where we have any trouble at all.
Yeah. Are you seeing Canadians express frustrations though at this time through their pocketbook, for instance, you know, maybe choosing purposely not to buy things made in America?
I think there's some of that. You know, I was recently in Canada, and I, you know, maybe I'll speak to the personal and the professional side. I see similar things. Sometimes we'll go to a Canadian company and we'll present them with an opportunity here in Chicago, and we'll say, why don't you come down and take advantage of what Chicago has to offer? And some companies will say, not now. We're not coming right now. But others will say, business is business. And we're going to continue doing business with our closest trading partner. Geography is very important. You know, we can maybe work around the margins of our relationship, but we are still right there. And on a personal level, I hear the same thing too. I have some friends who, instead of going to Maine this year, they decided to go to Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
But my parents have booked a cruise long ago that's leaving from Boston, and they're going.
Yeah, I have family members as well who own property in the state of Florida and recently decided to sell because they said this is not the time to be part of this, you know. So that was alarming to me. That was one of the first things that was alarming to me. I was also in Canada earlier this year, if you remember, before things got pushed back, that initial tariff deadline from President Trump mm-hmm. of February 1st, I happened to be there at the time. In Montreal for one day, and then I was in Toronto for a couple of days. And that was the topic of conversation every single where I went. And that reminded me of just how tied we are as countries, where just at brunch with friends, all they're talking about was tariffs, right? Did you have a similar experience, especially at that time, Revy? Because I know you also cross the border quite often.
I do indeed. And what I wanted to say, first of all, on that personal level, my lovely aunt in Mississauga, Ontario, I just saw her actually last week at a graduation party for one of her relatives. And she's like, sorry, Ravi, I'm not coming down to visit you this summer. And I was like, why? He's like, because of this whole issue. I said, it's summertime. I mean, isn't the sort of the intensity moved away from this? She said, no, because it is personal. It was an insult. And if we cast our minds back to sort of mid-February and the amount of, as you thought, you were in Montreal on the 1st of February, in that time, also that Four Nations hockey tournament was going on. And it was absolutely at a fever pitch. And I was getting so much teasing, for example, in our newsroom and so on. And then I remember thinking, like so many Canadians, like, folks, you got to realize that this is an existential threat to us. It is a personal insult, and Canadians are incredibly polite, and we are polite. And then you could see how the temper of all that just kind of started to subside into March and April again on that kind of esoteric one-to-one level.
Yes.
People were realizing this is an insult. This is, you know, thumbing your nose at arguably your best friend, maybe your best friend who's kind of quiet and hangs out in the background a little bit, but that seems to have changed the tide a little bit in terms of the tenor of times. And I, by the way, had Canada not won that Four Nations hockey tournament, I wonder how politically that would have been, how that might, just as a symbolic thing, might have changed how the president was even talking about this whole issue.
That would have been rough.
It is real, and I think it's lasting. People feel hurt, and that hurt has to be overcome. I think business is business indeed, but a lot of people, you know, looking at how Canadians are looking at this internally, and how I'm very proud of the fact that Canada and Canadians really have realized that they need to chart a much more independent economic path as a way of having a more sustainable national life. And I, you know, as a Canadian and also a U.S. citizen, but as a Canadian, I'm very proud of that.
Yeah. Canada's the leading country of foreign tourists to the U.S. In recent years, they made up a quarter of foreign visitors. Those numbers are declining, though, George. Now, if we compare May 2025 to 2024, Forbes reports a 38% drop in road trips here and a 24% drop in air travel to the U.S. I mean, does that data sort of match things that you're hearing from friends, family, even, you know, folks that you work with at events, with Sister City events?
So a couple things. If you can rewind just a second, I don't think I mentioned. So Chicago, Toronto, Sister Cities was established in 1991. It's one of the longest standing sister cities program. And Chicago has 28 of these sister cities. So very much promoting this international dialogue and community. The one thing I wanted to mention on the topic of sports is actually next week on July 7th, I believe the Blue Jays are in town 7, 8, and 9. And as part of this Chicago-Toronto sister city, we're actually partnering with the University of Toronto's alumni chapter with our committee members to watch this game. So just one example of, you know, how do you actually switch up and make this a bit more fun and bridge these two cities together? Sasha, one other example I wanted to mention during Chicago Tech Week that's sort of organized and hosted by P33, we're putting on a cross-border Canada-US breakfast where we're actually having and hosting a few Canadian venture funds to come to Chicago to be able to foster these connections with local Chicago-based venture funds to promote more investing cross-border.
Yeah.
So again, from our standpoint is how do you actually promote this idea of citizen diplomacy? And for sister cities, it's always and will always be one individual, one community at a time.
Yeah. And I imagine it being that much more difficult to sort of, you know, get people to come over and be part of events like what George just laid out, Corey, just because of what I just mentioned, the decline. Like that's a fact, the decline in people coming here. I recently got married and my family said to me,
congrats.
It's only because we love you, you know, that we're going to be here in Chicago.
Well, congratulations on
your
wedding. Yeah. But undoubtedly, there is a reduction in people coming, and I see it anecdotally in my own family. But, you know, just to pile on to what George said, there are those ties that exist, even though they're here and maybe it's counterintuitive, continue to get stronger.
Yeah.
So we were talking about sports. You know, I know there's a pitcher on the Cubs who played for the Canadian national team. There is a Canadian player on the Chicago Stars. You know, we have those connections in the arts. The director of the Chicago International Film Festival is a Canadian. I believe there's Canadian involvement in the Chicago Symphony Orchestra in business. Mm-hmm. We recently started, I shouldn't say we, but there has recently been the creation of a Canada-Chicago Chamber of Commerce. It's called Nexus 49.
Oh, nice.
Which is something we're very excited about and we think will continue to grow.
On the flip side, is the Canadian consulate hearing from worried Canadians? Like maybe about visas?
Well, we have no control over American visas. I mean, certainly we get some questions about that sort of thing, but we direct them to sort of the general guidance from the government of Canada. We don't have any special direction on that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think some of the initial anger, Ravi, or shock that Canadians felt in February, you talked about this a little bit a moment ago, but are folks at a more comfortable place now overall, think?
No, I don't think so. I think, just as I said, I was back there just last week, and no, I don't. I think they feel that the emergency nature of it is maybe subsiding a little bit, but they feel very burned, and they feel very betrayed at a certain level, and they really, many people, both in business and senior levels of journalism that I'm talking to and so on, back to that earlier point I mentioned, thought this really was and remains a wake-up call for Canada to truly get on the exercise of redefining that age-old question: what does it mean to be Canadian? What does Canada stand for beyond the economics? What are the ties that bind? And the new government in Canada is using that as that political capital to make what appear to be some very dramatic moves in terms of interprovincial trade and so on, that speaks to the fact that at some level, this danger, this existential danger, remains. And I just want to say before something that was earlier, back to like the amazing people of Chicago and how welcoming they are to Canadians. I mean, I'm the anchor of their number one newscast for 30 years, and it's got deep, deep roots in the community and goes way beyond me and our current wonderful staff. But to allow a Canadian to come in and play that role and tell your stories, your Chicago stories to you, and to be part of this neighborhood and to have our DNA get integrated with yours speaks to the quality of the human condition, if you will, here in Chicago.
I have to completely agree with you there, Ravi, because I couldn't have said it better myself.
Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that they trust us to come in here, and we're good journalists and all the rest of it. There are a lot of great American journalists too, but we're attracted to here because of any number of reasons, and we want to get into the news here. I mean, if you're a news junkie, coming to Chicago is like, drinking out of a fire hose. It's incredible. But
there's a lot of news to give.
On that individual basis, Americans are absolutely amazing to us, and they respect Canadians too. Canadians have great, great, great respect.
So before we wrap here, I just want to hear from each of you quick thoughts on just whether you think the relationship between these two countries and its people, can we get it back to where it was maybe a year ago? Corey?
I'm not sure. I'm optimistic. I hope so. That's an important relationship. Canadians take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
The type of relationship we have is built on cooperation that we've seen over the years. I mean, we can go back as far as September 11th when the commander of NORAD, which is a joint command, was a Canadian and closed American airspace to protect the United States. When planes that couldn't get into the United States landed in small towns in Newfoundland, and for local people to maybe understand what that means, just imagine a small town on the prairies with dozens of giant planes full of people coming in, and you have to feed and clothe these people. That's, and to Ravi's point, I think our help and things like that in fighting the wildfires in LA most recently, those are the sorts of things that Canadians know that we do with our partners in the United States. And so we feel this sense of confusion when we hear we're told that we're not needed because we feel we're very needed. So I think many Canadians might feel quite wounded right now. They might feel personally upset.
Yeah.
But I think, again, to that point about geography, it's important.
Yeah.
We're very close to each other.
We're still located where we're located.
We're still where we are.
And there's room for a bounce back. Mm. Right, George? What do you think?
I was also going to say we're also connected by four Great Lakes. So literally connected by the lakes. So I'd say humorously, my wife says I give off golden retriever energy. And so to piggyback off of Corey's point about being an eternal optimist, if I can leave all listeners with maybe three things is, number one, show up. Right. This all starts at the grassroots level.
Mm-hmm.
The second part is get involved. There's a bunch of different organizations that are very keen on being proactive and actually establishing this cross-border relationship and, you know, improving it and fostering relationships like the Chicago-Toronto Sister City Committee, where we have 24 active members. I will say that the third part here is just last week we had the Canada Day reception. It was an early sort of celebration that the Canadian consulate helped organize with a bunch of sponsors. We had more than 200 people show up, right?
That says something.
And they're not just Canadians. They're ecosystem friends. They're friends of Canada. They're partners. They're executives. So those are the three things. Sasha, if I can conclude on one personal note.
Sure.
Because my family is listening to this, and actually both my parents-in-law, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law just became Canadian citizens about a month ago.
Oh, congratulations.
So I just wanted to say congratulations to Jacques and Sonia Fakhouri, and my parents are listening. And
that's wonderful.
If it wasn't for all their dedication and efforts, I wouldn't also be where I am today.
Yeah. All right. Briefly take us home, Revy. Can we get back to how things were a year ago?
You know, I love the optimism, and I'm eternal optimist.
You're about to tell us
well,
no.
I just, the cynic in me, the journalist in me, it's kind of like a marriage. And, you know, there's been a big trauma here, a really big trauma. And a big trauma leaves a scar. Now, can we talk through the trauma? Can we understand it a little bit better? Can we learn some lessons from it? Can we ensure it doesn't happen again? All those things, the scar will still be there. So I, listening to a lot of people in Canada at the, you know, senior levels of government and academia and so on, I think this is a very serious matter, and it has to be dealt with on a personal level, on a political level, and it's not going to go away anytime soon. Maybe somewhere down the line, if there's somebody at a senior level in America who says, you know, we're not those imperialists ever were, maybe that'll go a long way to.
We need some time for sure.
We need some time.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Andrea Guthman. It was edited by Meha Ahmed and mixed by Ethan Schwab. With in-depth conversations on the show, we want to keep you informed and inspired. Subscribe to the podcast to never miss an episode. You can also visit us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again tomorrow.
Donald, I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely